Well, good evening to everybody. Thanks for coming out on this Monday night. And we're into this second week of the meetings, and you're still coming out. Some of you come here almost every night. It's really appreciated. And so, as it's mentioned, we're just here until Friday night. And I'm sure the younger kids, the 10 and unders, and maybe we're going to make it 11, because there's a few 11-year-olds have come forward and say, oh, please, can't you make the offer 11 instead of just 10? And so we'll see, if there's enough cards to go to the 11-year-olds when the 10 and unders are done on Friday night, well, then there'll be something for you, too. So what are you supposed to be remembering? All these natural disasters and what they mean. So a famine is when there's not enough food in the fields to feed everybody. Earthquake is when the ground shakes really bad. Sometimes buildings fall into the ground. And a landslide is when rocks fall down the mountain. An avalanche is when snow slides down the mountain. And a volcano is when a mountain blows its top and shoots out fire and ash and dust and smoke. So that's what we learned so far about the natural disasters. I will, when you have your little quiz with me, you don't have to remember all those, what the initial names of them are. I will give you the name. For example, I say, can you tell me what an earthquake is? Or can you tell me what a volcano is? So then we'll see if you can remember. Now tonight, I'm not going to talk about a natural disaster, so this won't be part of your list, but I am talking tonight about a huge disaster. This is a disaster that took place over the course of about 4 years, and I'm referring to the U.S. Civil War. And no, I wasn't there just like last night. I said I wasn't there at the volcano. I wasn't there in the Civil War either, because it took place between 1861 and 1864, 1865, something like that. And I do have to confess, when I went to school, I didn't like history. But now I kind of do. And so I'm assuming that maybe, if you're like me when I went to school, you don't like history either. But we'll try and make this interesting so that you'll be interested to know what happened in the Civil War and what we can learn about God. See, this is the important thing. It's not that we're doing history lessons to learn about history. We're learning about some of these things so we can find out, what does God want to say to me? What does God want me to learn about Him? What is there so important that God says, Ross, I want you to understand this? And so sometimes in these natural disasters and tragedies and accidents that take place here on earth, and in the case of tonight, some of the wars, we can learn about ourselves and we can learn about God. And so when I think of the Civil War in the United States, I mean, it's just one of many wars. If I was going to decide, well, I had to decide what war to talk about tonight when I decided I was going to talk about a war. But there's like hundreds and thousands of wars that have taken place over our history. Wars started taking place in the very first book of our Bible, Genesis. And wars are going to take place in the very last book of our Bible, Revelation. And wars are taking place and recorded in almost every book in between. There's a few of them that are not mentioned. But wars are mentioned in so many different books of the Bible because wars are associated with us. There's something about us that likes to fight. And so some of the lessons we're going to learn tonight, we'll look at them in a few minutes. But the Civil War was a very bad one. And before I talk a little bit about it, let's just read a couple of verses from the Bible. Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. And the underlying theme of the lessons we're going to learn tonight from the war is something about peace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It says at the start of that verse, when we were enemies. And I'm going to read one verse. You don't have to turn to it, but it's found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. The book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, and having made peace, this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, or now has he brought you close to God. So he's made peace by the blood of his cross. So when we talk about wars have gone on, maybe even before the start of our Bible. The first war between Satan and God. Satan is against God. Satan has a heart that says, I want to be better than God. I want to be higher than God. I want to be able to do more things than what he does. And so you're going to read five times over in a prophet called Isaiah and chapter 14, five little expressions that really summarizes why there's conflict, why there's so many wars in our world today. And five times you're going to read the expression, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And so there's wars when people don't get what they want. And so if they're not getting what they want, they pull out a gun and they start shooting. Or in the case of the Civil War, they fire up the big old cannons and the cannonballs that maybe weighed 100 pounds and shot the big round balls of steel through the air. And I tell you, if you think a little pebble of hail hurts, you wouldn't want to get hit by a big cannonball. But that's what they did back then. They didn't have all the radar and the radar guided missiles, and if they could get it in the end of their sights, they did the best they could. They carried big swords, and sometimes they fought with swords. And they rode on horses. And so fighting way back then was a whole lot different than it is today. But the basic problem is, when people don't get what they want, then that causes a war. And so Satan was against God. Countries against countries. Brothers against brothers. The very first war between brothers took place in Genesis chapter 4. It wasn't a very long war, but it was a really sad one when Cain killed his brother. You could say that's a war. When one brother didn't like what his other brother was doing and what had happened with him and God, he got jealous. And that's another reason for a whole lot of wars, is jealousy, covetousness, not getting what you want. And so the list goes on. And so in our world today, we're characterized by not having peace. But in the Civil War, I don't expect you to remember this. Maybe your dads might know and your moms might know something about it, as they've studied about it in history, if you did take it in history. I guess this is American history, isn't it? But I've always found the Civil War really interesting, partly because it was a war that was so unnecessary. I mean, to me, it's just so sad. I mean, you look at the world wars when they're fighting from different sides of the ocean and across different borders and boundaries. You can kind of understand that, even though you can't. But when you get people from within the same country that are fighting, that is so sad. And that's what's happening today. You have people fighting within the same church. You have people fighting within the same home. You have people fighting within the same political party, but a civil war is when people are fighting within the same country. And they started fighting, and there's a good reason why the war started. Because in the southern part of the U.S., that was back in the days of slavery. A slave is somebody that has to work for somebody else, and maybe they'd never get paid for it. And sometimes they'd get whipped if they didn't work hard enough. And they couldn't leave when they wanted. They didn't get days off. They had to do exactly what somebody else said. In fact, they were owned by their boss. Their boss bought them at a market. And so that's what a slave was. And in the southern U.S. back in those days, there was millions and millions of slaves, and they worked in the cotton fields. And they worked very hard. They worked in the heat because it's hot in the south. And so being a slave was not a nice thing. And so the president of the United States, his name was Abraham Lincoln. He said, there's been enough of slavery in our country. And there shouldn't be any more slavery. And then all those states in the South, they said, oh, yes, there has to be slaves because that's how we make our money. And you see what's happening? They're saying, we will do what we want. We will get rich by these people working for nothing. We will make them work hard and we will make money from them. And the same old problem like Satan started in the very beginning. And so the president of the United States said, you know what? We can't have a divided country. We can't let them do what they want. We have to be united. And what's more, those poor slaves have to be freed. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Is another war that's taking place. The war within your soul. The war within your life. God wants you to be saved. Satan wants you to be lost. And maybe you want to be saved. And Satan doesn't want you to be saved. And so there's a little conflict going on. And sometimes you're wondering, well, am I saved or am I not saved? That's kind of like a war. And maybe sometimes you get to the place and say, well, I'm going to get saved tonight. And then another voice says, no, don't get saved tonight. That's a war. That's a conflict. That's a strife. And what you see in a war is there's no peace. So my first point is, peace is missing. And it's really sad that when we see in our world today how that people just can't get along. Now, I look at a lot of you kids here in the front rows, and I happen to know your moms and dads, and you are so blessed because you come from homes where your mom and dad love you, and your mom and dad care for you. And you know what? It's not always like that. Sometimes there's children, they go to bed at night and they think, Mommy doesn't love me, Mommy doesn't care for me, Mommy's not even here, Daddy's not even here in the house. I don't know where Daddy is. And you know, they feel so rejected, they feel so hurt and lost, and they go to bed and they can't sleep because there's no peace. And so whether it's within your heart, whether it's within your home, or whether it's in different levels within our country or within the world, our world is characterized by peace that is missing. God has said there is no peace. Or Isaiah said, there's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. And the wicked are like the troubled seas. You know, the difference between a lake and an ocean is interesting. I love going to the ocean and I love going to a lake. You know, those of you who have been to the ocean, you know, the big waves come rolling in. But there's one thing about an ocean. Well, it's not like a lake. Sometimes in the nice, calm summer evenings or early in the summer mornings in the lakes, down in the White Shell and around Kenora, beautiful country, and you get out there and the water just calm and just like a mirror, and you hear the loons and you see maybe a fish jumping and maybe a moose way over there eating something at the side of the water. I mean, but the water is just crystal clear, just like a mirror, so calm. But an ocean's not like that. An ocean is always moving. Waves are always coming in. Sometimes they're bigger than others. And so God says that people who are not saved are just like an ocean. Not that you're salty, but that you're just never calm. There's always a problem. There's always an agitation. There's always a conflict. There's always commotion. There's a lack of peace in your life. And maybe I'm describing somebody this evening. And that is exactly what's taking place. That's how you describe your life. There's no peace. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know why you're here today. You don't know what the purpose of life really is. And sometimes you wonder, God, why am I here? Or God, are you real? God, are you there? Are you really a God? And there's a whole lot of people and they have a lot of unrest, just like an ocean. Always in turmoil, always turning and turning, no peace. That's why it's a wonderful thing when a person comes to trust in the God of eternity, the God of heaven, and to realize that He has put me here with a purpose. He made me, and He wants to save me from my sins. He wants to give me a peaceful home in heaven forever and forever. And when the person comes to realize that, there's peace. There's no peace like it. But until that happens, there is no peace. I think of a Christmas carol that we often sing. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Maybe some of these carols are getting so old-fashioned now that, you know, they wouldn't be part of the contemporary ones. And so maybe a lot of you don't even know those carols. But it was written by a guy. His name is Henry Longfellow. He lived during the Civil War. And so I'm connecting this to the Civil War that I'm talking about tonight. Henry was a poet, wrote a lot of poems about the Civil War and other things as well. And his first wife died when he was young, and she was young. A few years later, he remarried, and after 18 years of being married and having a number of children, his wife Fanny was working in their house one day, and her big frilly dress that they wore back then in those days caught fire, and she couldn't get out of it, and he came from another room when he heard the commotion and tried to save his wife, and he was so badly burned, but she burned to death. And he was so badly burned that he couldn't even make it to his wife's funeral the next day, the wife's burial. And for 2 years, he was in anguish. Nobody could comfort him. And adding to his sorrow, his son joined the Civil War as a volunteer soldier. And then in November of 1963, he got word about his son being so badly and terribly injured in the war. And then Christmas Day of 1963 came, and he heard the church bells chiming, and he heard people talking about what's supposed to be a day of joy and a day of peace. And he thought, there's no peace in my life. And so he wrote one of those verses of that chorus. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to man. And there is a man that confessed as he wrote what turned out to be a famous Christmas carol. I have no peace. There is no peace on earth. Because all he could see was the hatred and the lack of love and the lack of peace and the wars and the hurt and the deaths and the injuries and the sorrow of parents as they heard of their children not coming back from the war. But as I think of peace that's missing, I reflect on my own life before I became a Christian. I was 19 when I was saved, but I remember the conflict, the war in my life, the lack of peace, as I pondered, am I really saved? At one point, I told people I was saved, but then I knew I wasn't. And I went from, yes, I'm saved, no, I'm not. Yes, I am, no, I'm not. Yes, I am, no, I'm not. A real conflict, a real battle, a real war. And a person has no peace when they're going from two different perspectives, and especially when there's no God in your life. And I remember the day before I did get saved, it was a Monday. I got saved on a Tuesday, but I remember the Monday, it was a really blue Monday. And I was raised on a dairy farm, and we still had the dairy at that point. And I'd fed the cows for the evening milking. And I was in the milk house, and I was worried about my soul. I was thinking, what happens if I never get saved? Anybody here ever thought like that? What happens if I never get saved? And I remember the thought occurring, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to get saved. And I remember putting my elbows up in the big stainless steel milk tank, and with my face buried in my hands, 19 years old, I wept like a baby. Oh, the tremendous turmoil, the lack of peace. I'm not saved. I don't know how to get saved. And maybe I'm describing some who have attended these meetings in the past weeks or past nights. And as you've gone home some nights and dad or mama shut out the lights, or you've turned out your own light, and gone to bed but not to sleep. And you've thought, what happens if I die the way I am? I'm not saved. Oh, that you might realize tonight that God wants to save you. God doesn't want you to go on not having peace. Because we read in Colossians chapter 1 about peace that was made. So peace was missing, and peace was made. And when I think about the wars and the peace that's missing, I think of strife. But when I think of the peace that's made and peace pacts in a time of war, there's always sacrifice. And so it's interesting to read of those that have given their lives and sacrificed so that you and I might have peace. And in this country, November the 11th, we remember those who gave their lives in various wars. We enjoy peace today in Canada. That's why so many people want to come here. That's why we enjoy it. It's a great country. But it's coming at the cost of great sacrifice of men and women have given their lives so that we might have peace. There's a sacrifice. But when I think of the peace that's going to come to you and to me, it came a great sacrifice as well, for somebody had to die. Having made peace, says the book of Colossians chapter 1, referring to Jesus, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Three things I want to mention. His cross. Well, there's two other guys there, and they had a cross. But none of them brought peace. None of them could save us. So it's not just the cross that can save, but it's the blood associated with the cross that can save. And of course, we know it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect Savior, the Holy Son of God that gave his life. And our sins were laid upon him. Sometimes I like that verse. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And it's a wonderful thing to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he was wounded for my sins, my transgressions. Cross, blood, because he died, and peace. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. And so peace was made through the death of somebody that died upon a cross. I was speaking the gospel one Sunday night in Lethbridge, probably back in 97 or 98, when I spent 2 years there, when we had the little building on 13th Street North. And I noticed in the meeting that night, that Sunday night, that there was a lady that I hadn't met before, a younger lady. And during the course of the meeting, I gave an illustration about how that God gave his Son so that we could be saved and have peace. And I was telling them about a book that I had read. It's called Peace Child. And if you haven't read the book, it's worthwhile getting. The story of Don Richardson, with him and his family, they're over in Indonesia, Papua New Guinea. And the tribes had the customs back then when they got fighting between themselves. They'd fight, some on one side of the river, the other tribe on the other side of the river. And they would fight, and guys would lose their lives as they threw and chucked the lances across the river and into the river where they were fighting. But they wouldn't quit. And this missionary, Don Richardson, he would observe what was going on, and he knew what was happening. And he had limited language, but he just longed to be able to tell them, well, like, what are you fighting for? You don't need to fight. There's a better life. And then he noticed a guy break away from one of the tribes on his side of the river. And the guy disappeared into the trees, and he went up a high tree and into a little tree house about 30 feet off the ground. He was in there for about a minute, and then he hears a shriek and cries. And then he sees the guy appear at the door of the little tree house and start making his way down. And he's got a little bundle in his arm. And it's his little baby that he had in his arm. And it was his wife, the mother of this little baby that was shrieking and crying, because their custom was, if one of the tribes would give a child, present a child alive to the other tribe. And that child would never return to the tribe where it was born, but always live and always stay and grow up and be part of the other tribe. Then there would be peace. And until one of the men would present their child, they stayed fighting. And I was telling this story that night in the gospel meeting. And after the gospel meeting, the younger lady comes. She says, "That's an interesting story you told tonight." I said, "Yeah, really interesting book. I read it out of, you know, the book Peace Child." She says, "Yeah." She says, "I know it." She says, "The missionary was my dad, and I was there." I said, "Well, did I tell the story correctly?" She says, "Yeah, it was pretty good." And I was so thankful that I was able to tell correctly the story of a little child that was given so that others might live. And my prayer and desire is that I might tell the story correctly tonight of another father who gave his son. God in heaven who gave his son to die on a cross of Calvary so that you might live and so that you might have peace. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, peace is available. And so just like their sacrifice associated with making peace, when I think of the Civil War, there's some say 600,000, others say 800,000 people lost their lives in that Civil War. Oh, the sacrifice so that the United States would stay one country, but more importantly, that people who are in slavery would be set free, which they were shortly after. Sacrifice. I read that verse from Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, peace is missing. You all agreed. Peace was made at the cross of Christ. I hope you're all agreed. But I want to tell you something that's really special to me. Peace is mine. And I'd hope that there's a lot of people here tonight and you'd say, "I agree with you. I remember the day, I remember the night when I trusted Christ to be my Savior. And I realized I was an enemy, like we read about in verse 10 of chapter 5. I realized that my sin was taking me further away from God, but that He made peace when His Son died on the cross for my sins. He shed His blood. And all I have to do now is believe and to trust and turn from my sin." And that night, back in 1974, I had peace with God for the first time. That night, sitting up in my bed, wondering, "Oh, how is it really that I can be saved?" And I thought of all the verses that I'd known through the years, and they hadn't saved me to that point in my life, and I thought, they won't save me tonight. And the thought came to me, I guess you're just going to have to go down to hell. And then I guess it's probably the Spirit of God that put this thought into my mind. Well, why don't you just trust Christ? And there, sitting up in bed, lost in my sins, I just simply trusted the man who died to make my peace, who died on the cross and shed his blood for me. And it was like I saw myself going over a cliff. And just as you go over a cliff, and you're not going to stop till you crash on the rocks below to your death. And it was just like, when I went over the cliff, the arms of Jesus caught me and gave me rest. And that's what just had happened that night. By faith, I realized He was there to save me. And I realized He would save me from all my sins. And I just trusted Him to be my Savior. And I'm wondering if you can do that tonight. You know, associated with you enjoying peace, associated with a war coming to an end and there being peace, is quite often surrender. And I was interested to read that the last battlefield of the Civil War took place down in Texas, pretty close to where I've spent a lot of time. I'm going to drive by there someday and have a look at it. Because it was on that battlefield that General Lee surrendered. He said, I can't do this anymore. We give up. You win. And maybe you've been battling with God in your mind and in your life these days. And maybe there's been that war going on. I should be saved, but no, not now. Yes, I should. No, not now. You will never have peace until you surrender your life to God and you say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. I give you everything I have. Like the Apostle Paul, when he was on that road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? That is salvation when you accept God, accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray.